If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Hello and welcome to We Are Going Up. It is mini episode time. I'm Mark Crossley in sunny Salford and direct from Waterloo, should be, David Cameron Walker.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
It's been a little while again, hasn't it?
It has been a little while again. I believe you did a... Do you remember, actually, we should start with this. Last summer we did a big pub crawl during the World Cup. Yeah. Where we did a venue for every different nation in the tournament in London. Yeah. We went right around from kind of West London, started out in...
Ealing.
We started in Ealing. We went up to Acton. Croatian restaurant in Acton. Yeah. We went all the way out to the other side of where was
Deptford.
Deptford, that was it, in Essex.
Cameroonian bar.
Yeah,
Deptford,
we did. Yeah. And we finished
Deptford
it in
is not in Essex, it's in South East London.
I thought it was in Essex.
No.
Okay, what do I know? The reason I've moved. And then and then we ended up in a Brazilian place. Yeah. The host nation at the end of the night. Now, I believe you did something similar at the weekend.
Kind of. Not really. There was no reason for what I did at the weekend other than just I was a bit bored. It was the circle.
I'm bored, so I just drank.
It was all the 27 stops on the original circular bit of the circle line.
Wow. And did you complete said challenge?
I did.
Kids, don't try this at home.
It was difficult. Sunday wasn't very much fun, I can tell you that.
That was the day that I spoke to you. It's just a short show tonight. You've got in your broom cupboard, I believe.
I am, yeah.
But has there been issues with the broom cupboard?
Not so much. Not in the way that we're used to.
Okay. Not heating issues.
The heating is absolutely fine.
Oh, a
lovely,
fixed it.
Calming, nice room temperature.
Okay.
However, access to said broom cupboard
right.
has become significantly more difficult than
okay.
what we're used to. We basically used to be able to walk into this state-of-the-art facility whenever we please.
Yeah.
But now...
Never going to last.
There are an extraordinary amount of people in this building, much more than there used to be.
Yes.
So I have to duck and dive, try and get in here when I can, and hope that nobody's looking. So we better get on with it.
Okay. There you go. If you're a radio anorak, you'll know entirely what he's talking about there.
Yeah.
Right, let's... first of all, we'll play an interview, shall we, that I've done, because you've had issues getting in the cupboard.
Mm.
I'll play an interview I've done with Paul Kendrick, who's the chief football writer at the Wigan Evening Post and the Wigan Observer. We've had him on the show many times before, follows Wigan through and through, and they're having a pretty good run.
Yeah, quite often been on when in times of trouble.
He has.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to burst into a little bit of Let It Be there. Find yourselves in times of trouble. Wigan Athletic don't, though, at the minute, because they are flying high. I think it's 18 games in all competitions. They're unbeaten, or it might even be 18 league games they're unbeaten. They're just a point behind Burton Albion now, because Burton Albion have only taken 1 point from their last two games. It was a 0-0 draw against Oldham Athletic last Saturday, and then a 2-0 defeat away at Millwall on Monday. So they're only 1 point behind going into the final seven games of the season. So can Wigan clinch an immediate return to the Championship? Can they win the title? I started by asking Paul if he now thinks the Latics will go on and clinch an immediate return to the second tier.
Well, absolutely. I mean, seven games to go. They are unquestionably the form team in the division. Like you say, 18 games unbeaten. You know, you contrast that with the other teams at the top. You know, Burton, the only team above them, won three, drawn three, lost three of the last nine. You know, while they seem to be, you know, from the outside at least, you know, flagging, you know, desperately waiting for the line to come, Wigan are absolutely coming on strong. You know, wouldn't complain if we had another 10 or 20 games, because I think if that were the case, they'd stroll to promotion, the form they're in. It really is going well at the moment.
Now, at the start of the season, Wigan obviously relegated last year, might have been among, you know, the favourites with the squad they had to go up, but obviously not the easiest first few months. What do you think has happened, or what sort of flick to enable them to go on this run?
I think it was inevitable, to be honest, the slow start that they had. I mean, they had such a, you know, a ridiculous turnover of staff. It was literally a brand new playing squad. You know, you had a rookie manager, a rookie chairman, you know, both learning the ropes kind of as they go along, really. You know, the slow start, you know, anyone expecting them to hit the ground running with a brand new squad was kind of kidding themselves, really. You know, and if you take away the first month of the season, they've only lost two in the league since mid-September. So that kind of shows the consistency once they have found the feet and got into the rhythm. You know, you look at the playing squad, the quality of it is, well, I don't think there's anyone to touch them in League One, and recent results have shown that. So I think it's not really a case of, you know, anything more, you know, mind-shattering than the fact that consistency and bedding in has been a natural progression, and the way they're playing now is kind of, you know, where they should be. You know, they should be winning most games in this league because of the quality of the playing squad.
Now, one man who's had a starring role in recent weeks is Will Grigg. He scored twice against Swindon, which a lot of people might have seen on the telly over the weekend. I think he's clinched promotion with Brentford and MK Dons from this division in the last two seasons. Came in the summer. What have you made of him so far this season?
Yeah, excellent. I mean, like you say, he did have the pedigree, you know, helping his previous two clubs win promotion in the last 2 years. The chairman, David Sharp, promised the fans last summer, "I will bring in a 20-goal-a-season striker." You know, he's criticised in some quarters for the brashness of his comment, but he's been as good as his word. He's put his money down. You know, other clubs were balking at the, you know, rumoured sort of £1 million price tag, but David Sharp put his money where his mouth is, and Will Grigg has been fantastic, particularly in recent weeks. Again, like the rest of the squad, you know, took time to settle in. One or two injuries, international call-ups didn't help, but you've seen, you know, what a fully integrated Will Grigg can do in this division, and he's got 20 goals now with seven games to go. I wouldn't back him against scoring maybe four or five more in the promotion running, because he's absolutely running hot at the moment.
And if he does that, obviously give himself a good chance of going to France this summer.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he's been sort of there or thereabouts in the squad for the last sort of couple of years. But interestingly, he was stood down from international duty over the weekend. Few eyebrows were raised about that. We were expecting him to be away with Northern Ireland. Thankfully, there was a gentleman's agreement with Gary Colwell and Michael O'Neill, who, of course, used to play for Wigan, to allow Will Grigg to stay with Wigan rather than sit on the bench and play the odd few minutes at the end. You know, with the form he's in, he wants to be playing as many games as possible. And obviously, it worked in Wigan's favour with him scoring two cracking goals at Swindon. And I think ultimately that will help Northern Ireland, because obviously they want him, they want their players, any players, but particularly Will Grigg, you know, in as good a form as it can possibly be. And he just wants to be playing football at the moment, because every time he takes to the field, he looks like he's capable of scoring.
Now, apart from the, ironically, against one of the worst teams in the division, the three all away at Colchester recently, defensively, Wigan have been excellent. I think they've only let in five goals since January. Tell us a little bit about the defence, and in particular the goalkeeper.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can almost trace the you know, the recovery, if you like, to Jussi Jääskeläinen coming in goal. He was kind of signed last summer as you know, not one of the more heralded signings. He was kind of expected to, you know, be experienced backup to Richard O'Donnell, really, you know, challenge him, but not really sort of, you know, nail down a first team spot right from the start. But as soon as he's come in, it's like somebody's flicked a switch, and the back four, the back five, whichever Gary Colwell has played, suddenly seems more, you know, far more assured with him at the back. He's got the relationship with the centre backs going, and his clean sheet record, I mean, he's averaging a clean sheet virtually every other game, and it's been fantastic. Obviously, he's 40 years old now. He's not going to last forever, but, you know, in terms of quality at the moment, you know, there's no goalkeeper to touch him that I've seen in League One, and his record would prove that.
And some of the sort of recruitment in outfield positions as well in recent months. Sam Morsey came in midfield. He's obviously been an important acquisition. You know, shows that Gary Colwell sort of has got his head screwed on the transfer market as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it probably sent out so much of a statement in January when Wigan were able to do that. You know, they already had a winning team, a squad that was flying up the table, and then all of a sudden they can sort of, you know, raid Chesterfield for their captain, their best player, and Sam Morsey's come into the team, and he's taking it to like a duck to water. He's literally come in from day one, bossed the midfield. I mean, he's playing alongside two really consistent players in David Perkins and Max Power. But the three of them at the moment, the way they've settled together has been absolutely phenomenal. And It's been no coincidence that they've been unbeaten since Sam Morsy's come into the team, and to be honest, they don't really look like losing.
Okay, well, this is the run-in then. Shrewsbury away on Saturday, then Coventry at home, Doncaster away, Burton away, more on that in a second, Wigan against Southend, sorry, at home, Blackpool away, and then Barnsley at home on the final day. That game at the Pirelli on April the 19th could well be a shootout for the title, perhaps.
Well, it looks to be. I mean, the way the league table looks at the moment, I mean, for many weeks now, it's kind of been looking at that game as, you know, Wigan have to win that game if they've got any chance of taking over the league leadership. But kind of with the results over Easter and the fact there's, you know, two or three tricky games in the meantime, I wouldn't back against Wigan actually going into that game, you know, actually top of the table, and then it becomes a different ball game. It's kind of almost Burton have to then beat Wigan to get back above them, and also if Walsall are winning games, you know, that becomes a factor. And, you know, from almost a must win from Wigan, it might become a must not lose. So it's going to be fantastic. A lot's going to be riding on it, no matter the results in the meantime. But it really is shaping to be, you know, the championship decided that, and I for one can't wait.
Tell me a little bit about the chairman, because a lot of people obviously be very familiar with the story of Wigan Athletic and Dave Whelan and the FA Cup victory over City 3 years ago. Amazing. And it was only 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, his grandson, is it? David Sharp, certainly relative grandson, has taken over as chairman. He made some quite bold comments at the start of the season. How's he taken to the job, do you think?
Yeah, phenomenally well, to be honest. I mean, just a word on those comments. I mean, I was actually at the fans forum where these kind of comments originated. And
remind everyone what he said.
Yeah, I feel they were slightly taken out of context. He actually, you know, obviously he's trying to sell season tickets and turn morale around from a really poor season last season. What he actually said was, I don't just want to win this league. I want to smash it. I want to get 100 points. And, you know, to be honest, in pre-season, that's kind of most people's aim, I would have thought, to do as well as possible. A lot of opposition fans and clubs kind of took it a bit that he said, we are going to do that. We will do this. It's a young, arrogant chairman who doesn't know what's going on. But it was kind of said more out of ambition and optimism rather than kind of, you know, arrogance or anything. And it's come back to bite him a bit recently, because obviously when Wigan, they're just unable to get that 100 points, even though, you know, 90-odd points would still be a phenomenal achievement.
Bad.
So, yeah. So it's kind of people are saying, oh, you know, we told you wouldn't get that. But it was more an aim rather than an actual boast. And it kind of just shows, you know, the confidence and the optimism at the start of the season, really. I mean, from last season, the contrast, you know, it was doom and gloom. It couldn't have got any worse. Whatever could have gone wrong did go wrong last year. So to kind of turn it around in the 12 months that David Sharp's been in charge and Gary Cole as manager, it's been absolutely phenomenal. And to be honest, they look like a championship team in League One now, whereas kind of last season, for a lot of it, they probably looked like a League One team in the championship. So there's kind of no, you know, finer, you know, underlining of Sharp and Caldwell than that. They've completely turned around the ship, and it really is, you know, flying and really aiming for the championship at the moment.
I wanted to ask you about Gary Caldwell, because sometimes there can be a bit of a kind of shrug of the shoulders when a player gets appointed as manager from within a club, especially a club like Wigan, who had suffered a double relegation in two or three seasons. How do you think he's taken to the role, and does he sort of give that level of authority now that, you know, he is the boss, and any of the players that might have been, I know there's been a lot of change in the squad, but any of the players that he might have played with, now he's in charge of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's been on the cards for sort of two or three years, really. He's one of these players that was always kind of, you know, involved in the leadership, the captaincy, you know, wherever he's been. And when he came sort of 5 or 6 years ago, he was kind of, you think he's the kind of guy who will go onto the coaching staff and maybe one day, you know, take over as manager of the team. Probably a lot of people may not have thought that 32, 33 years of old, it would have happened quite so soon, but I think that was kind of circumstances dictated it. You know, last season was such a car crash that we just needed a complete, you know, new look at the situation, and kind of Gary, you know, was given the job, you know, kind of, you know, sink or swim kind of thing. And I think it helped him, to be honest, the way he came in, whereas it, you know, it literally couldn't have gone any worse. We were virtually relegated when he came in, so, you know, he wasn't tarnished with any of that kind of negativity of relegation. He was kind of, you know, one of the faces of the kind of new era. You know, he was given a blank canvas, you know, a complete new playing squad. So it's not like he's been, you know, hamstrung by other people's signings and stuff. It is, you know, literally every single player currently at the squad. I think there's one or two that aren't, but, you know, virtually the whole squad are his players. So, he, you know, a lot of managers don't get that kind of, you know, advantage right from the start. But You know, like I say, he's not been hamstrung by that negativity of relegation of players that are there. They've been there for years, and they're kind of, you know, just seeing out the contracts. Virtually, you know, all the contracts were ended or they were moved on at the end of last season. So it's kind of his squad now. I think he's benefited from that. And, you know, you look at the league table now, and I don't think even he could probably have foreseen it going quite so well. It's been a fairy tale first season in charge.
And just final question, Paul. Obviously, I know about this because I sort of live and work in the area, but there was quite a significant day on Monday at the DW Stadium. First time it's ever happened. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. The both clubs playing at home at the same day. It doesn't normally happen because kind of both teams get their sort of fixture list into the relevant governing body, and they kind of usually, you know, work out that one of the teams is away or one of the teams is at home on most weekends, and certainly the bank holiday. It didn't happen this time for whatever reason, and it was decided to play both games on the same day. Wigan 1:30 kickoff, Wigan Warriors 8:00 kickoff, and I think a phenomenal job done by all the sort of stadium staff, the steward in, the hospitalities, the pitch markers, the guys who change all the goalposts and stuff, and kind of tunnel pictures that I saw them, you know, in between press conferences and stuff between the games, and it was just absolutely all hands to the pump. But
at one point they had one football goal at one end and one rugby goal at the other end.
That's right. There wasn't too much time for any thinking about it or something. It was literally one down, one up. So,
and they both won, I think, in the end.
Yeah, I was just going to say it was the perfect Easter because both teams won on Good Friday and both teams also won on Easter Monday. So, you know, when it's going for you, it really goes for you. And it's certainly going for Wigan as a town at the moment.
Good stuff. Good to talk to you, Paul. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
You're listening to We Are Going Up. We've got the Football League covered.
So that was Paul Kendrick, football correspondent for the Wigan Evening Post and the Wigan Observer, talking to me a little bit earlier about whether Gary Caldwell's side can make an immediate return to the Championship. And David Cameron Walker still in position in the broom cupboard. It is to the Championship where we go next. No action over the international break, but it's been a couple of weeks since we've done a podcast. Burnley, 4 points clear at the top, so they're still in pole position with 8 games to go. But Brighton, back into second.
Yeah, refusing to go away. They've hung on in there, even when they've had the odd wobble here and there, and the odd, you know, they've had quite a few draws here and there. They're still there, and they're still winning games by the odd goal, which is what they've very much specialised in doing this season. 2 wins in the last 2 games, 2-1 against MK Dons away from home, 1-0 against Reading in the midweek before that. So they're still there, and they've taken advantage a little bit, haven't they, of the stuttering form, particularly of a team like Hull City, who have fallen back a little bit now.
And rumours about Steve Bruce being linked with the Aston Villa job as well. I don't know if be appointing anyone before the end of the season. I doubt it.
I wouldn't think he'd go there. Yeah, not especially not now. I mean, with Aston Villa, I mean, they're a huge club compared to Hull. But I mean, and indeed, Steve Bruce isn't adverse to leaving.
No, that's what I was thinking.
Out of nowhere. But I think he, you know, despite the fact that they've had a few poor results in recent weeks, they're still well in with a chance of promotion this season. He could be swapping places with Aston Villa, who are, you know, dead on certainties for relegation. So the temptation of an Aston Villa coming to you and saying, you know, come and revive us would certainly be something you'd think about. But I mean, for one, I don't think they'd go to him as first choice either. I think there'll be other names higher up that list, but I'd be surprised if that happened. I think Steve Bruce will see this one out. But if they don't go up, though, it'll be interesting to see whether he sticks it out for another season in the Championship, or whether he maybe leaves and you know, looks for a new opportunity somewhere else.
Harry Redknapp's director of football, he's sort of advising.
Football advisor. Also
Derby.
The manager of Jordan.
Yeah, in between a quick trip to Sydney to lose 5-1 against Australia, whatever it was the other day. Derby in the playoff spots at the minute. I mean, 5 points, judging by last season, not completely secure by any means, but they're in there. Middlesbrough, Hull, Derby and Sheffield Wednesday.
Middlesbrough are the interesting team, really, in the midst of this. Burnley are out there, 4 points clear. I think they're going to be okay, as we discussed last time out. But the whole saga with Karanka, I mean, you've ever seen anything like it? Looked like he was gone. You know, he had a bust up with the players, stormed out, didn't turn up for the game at Charlton, and which they lost, which was a terrible result for them. But came back and everything was forgiven. I don't know. They obviously, somehow, some way, they came to an agreement that he would continue as manager. And there he was on the touchline for that game on the Friday night against Hull. And Nugent gets a last-minute header.
Delicious header.
And the scenes at the Riverside. It was great pandemonium. All the players were hugging each other in the corner. The management and all the subs off the bench hugging each other. Karanka was going nuts. You could see how much it meant to him. And I don't know if we've completely got to the bottom of exactly what happened in that whole situation, or if we ever will. But it was bizarre. But you know, from seemingly thinking, well, that's probably it. They've probably chucked away their chance of promotion. They're going to implode. They're only 1 point off of automatic promotion now, with a game in hand on Brighton. You'd have to say they're right back in it. This could seemingly out of nowhere, perversely, could galvanise them, perhaps.
Yeah, we're just looking at the playoffs, and there'll be loads of fans of teams in there saying, "You not mentioned us,
Sheffield Wednesday."
Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday.
They've
in
been
six.
Really happy. Cardiff and Ipswich
just outside. It's
the playoff picture, really. I mean, I hope. I mean, and I'm certainly going to get a lot of stick for this, but I would like to think that Sheffield Wednesday will be the team that finish in that sort of final playoff spot. If there is indeed one up for grabs. I mean, the packs close a little bit, but still, for most of the season, it's pretty much been sort of five teams and then one spot up for grabs, hasn't it? And Sheffield Wednesday, to my mind, from what I've seen, have been the most entertaining of all the teams in that pack. Cardiff, Ipswich, Birmingham, Preston. Not a lot to get you excited there, I don't think. I don't think I'm doing them any disservice when I say that they're not fantastic teams. They're good, they're solid, and they've certainly performed admirably at times this season. Well, no, but I mean, I don't think anyone would say that they are. Look, you know, that they're solidly unspectacular. And certainly, Ipswich fans I've spoken to would admit that. I think Preston have overperformed their expectations to be. You know, they're a bit far behind now, but you know, to be 10th at this stage of the season, I don't think anyone expected that. Cardiff, I mean, they're not spectacular at all. I mean, and they kind of go on runs here and there.
Oh! Before we leave Cardiff, yeah. Story that we've got to tell about Cheltenham.
Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll do that in a second.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that any of those teams are that impressive, with the exception of Sheffield Wednesday. They're an exciting team. I think they've surprised a lot of people this season. I mean, maybe I'm being biased because of Forestieri, but I think he's one of the most exciting players in the Championship this season. And you know, for me, they're the most exciting team out of all that. And look at the amount of goals they've scored. Their goal difference is vastly superior to any of the teams around them, which I think tells you something about the way they play and the football they play under Carlos Carvajal. So I hope they do it.
Can we tell the story now?
We can tell a story about Cardiff.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the name of the MK Dons player who got in trouble for Cheltenham. Samir Carruthers, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was MK Dons.
MK Dons player who got fined 2 weeks' wages after urinating in a beer glass at the Cheltenham Festival. Now, you went to Cheltenham for a week. I'm sure you didn't get up to any of those antics yourself.
Definitely. I was working, Mark.
Of course. Can I read out the messages you sent me on WhatsApp? Is that all right?
Which ones?
Well, okay.
Okay, go for it.
These three. Yeah. There's only three of them. I'm sure they're broadcastable. The entire Cardiff City squad were in the box next door to us at Cheltenham today. Russell Slade is staggering about in front of me. He has literally lost the dressing room. Which I did enjoy. Did you chat to any of the players?
I'm afraid I didn't.
Oh, that's a shame.
They were more interested in the racing and having a good time. So I was in a box with Talk
Sport.
Weren't
you in a box at Wembley for the football the other night as well?
I wasn't in the box at Wembley.
No, whatever. Okay. You had free food though, didn't you?
I had a bit of free food.
You've changed. Go on.
Anyway, yeah, I know. So I was working with Talk Sport. We were very kindly put up by Paddy Power for the week. And next to us, we heard a bit of commotion at one stage. And we heard like a load of like lads chanting Russell Slater. I can't remember what the song was now, but it was you know, a chant in support of Russell Slate.
Okay.
Oh, it must be Cardiff fans in the next box. And then sort of put my head round the corner towards the end of the day, but there they all were. The entire Cardiff City first team squad, pretty much. I recognise some
team
of the
faces. Team
unity. You know, a lot of them.
Fueled by alcohol.
They weren't too bad. They were by no means were they in the, you know, displaying
the
MK Dons levels of revelry. They seemed to be keeping it together. They had a few
For
drinks.
For legal reasons, we need to say that.
They'd had a few drinks, but they were behaving themselves.
Good.
And, you know, all of them, it was very interesting just to look at them. One, you've got Russell Slade, obviously, in the middle of it all, who looks nothing like, obviously, like any of his players. But then you've got like a lot of sort of British, big, strapping British lads all in their really tightly fitted suits with their tattoos coming out over the top of the necks of their shirts and out the bottom of their sleeves. You know, the trendy haircuts and everything. And then in the middle of all of them, you've got Fabio, who just you know, the ex-Manchester United fullback,
right?
Who just looked like he didn't really know what was going on. He looked very, very well dressed as well, but a very stylish young man. But he did look a bit confused, I have to say. He wasn't quite used to a day out of the races at Cheltenham with all the lads, I don't think.
I can imagine.
But I enjoyed it. And anyway, yeah, as I told you on the messages, yeah, we walked out sort of behind them when it was time to leave the course. And they all did kind of scarper quite quickly because there's a lot of people leaving at the same time. Kind of like when you're leaving a football match. And yeah, Russell Slade sort of just paused for a little bit just to kind of look at his phone, answer a few messages or whatever, maybe check his winnings perhaps. And but the next thing he knew, he looked up and they were gone. That was it. And he just looked like, oh, I'm not going to try and find him. I'll leave him to it. Just sort of wandered off.
Tales.
Not quite in a straight line.
Tales from the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah. I also saw, I'm not going to divulge the identities of this club. But I'll leave it to your imagination. See if you can guess who it might be. About four or five players of a championship team towards the top end, certainly in the upper echelons of the division, shall we say, who were in the box with us. And as soon as they clocked the fact that there was a broadcast going on, one of them came over and had a word with another player who's in the box, who he obviously knew, and said, can you tell those lads, don't mention that we're here on air. We're not supposed to be here, and the gaffer doesn't know.
Amazing. Right, well, I'll chat to you about that when we finish recording.
I will say it doesn't seem to be having any effect on the league performance, though.
Okay.
So you're okay.
Oh, God, nice and cryptic. You're a pro. Warnock, Houdini act.
Oh, no.
Rotherham, out of the relegation zone. Going to stay up.
It looks like they are.
39
which
points.
Is amazing, really. And it's really put the likes of Fulham in big trouble.
MK Dons as well.
Yeah, MK Dons. I mean, I suppose MK Dons were always expected, I'd imagine, to be down there. But Charlton and Bolton look like they're gone. But yeah, Fulham really look like they're in trouble.
Real struggling.
Bristol City as well, looking over their shoulders again. Oh, they did get that big win against Fulham a few weeks ago, which was a massive game for them. But yeah, Rotherham have really put the cat amongst the pigeons there. And it looks like Warnock going to have a heroic great escape. Will he stay? I don't know. I imagine he's just on deal to the end of the season, isn't he? I don't know.
Open top
stay.
Bus tour, Warnock, yeah. End of the season. Forest have got rid of Friedman. That's the other development, really, we should mention before we
another
move on
to League
One.
Another big club in a permanent malaise, really, aren't
and
they?
It must be for Forest and Derby in particular at the minute, with Leicester doing what they're doing. Mm. It must really rub it in, the sort of mess that those clubs are in. And I'm sure more on Leicester to come on this podcast as we get nearer
Paul Williams
the end of the season.
Nottingham Forest
until
the end of the season, yeah.
Interesting.
It's interesting when you see all these kind of old 90s footballers now you've never heard of again, you know, since, and then they just
probably got some swapsies of him in one of my
they're all at various coaching positions in clubs, and if the clubs eventually start sacking enough managers, they pop up, and here Paul Williams is the latest one off the production line. But I don't think he'll be there, you know, in charge. I don't think he'll be the main man that they'll keep on for a long term appointment. But it's another club without a sense of direction, really. I sense frustration from the fans. Not nearly as bad as a club like Leeds. They're not as chaotic, but not too far behind, I don't think, in terms of the frustration with the owner. I think the owner certainly cares more for the club than Chiellino does for Leeds.
Okay.
I think goes without saying, but I do think there's a lot of frustration. I've been reading a few things on from old Seat Pitch, who's been on with us a few times. Topo, who long-term listeners will remember, our resident Forest fan. I've been
Topo's
chatting to him.
Topo's top tens.
Yeah, and it's just dissatisfaction and just a bit of, you know, sadness really at Forest, because you know they're nowhere once again.
Okay, I could have done with some sort of violin there, or I can't find one at such short notice. Anyway, League One, we talked about the top obviously with Paul about Wigan. The JPT final is this weekend. Barnsley are at Wembley and they're going to be facing
Oxford United.
Thanks for reminding me. That's on the telly this weekend. Barnsley are in 7th at the minute, so they are just outside.
Speaking of
the
East Midlands clubs
spots.
Not having a good time of it, Cov.
Yes,
they've sunk like
free
a stone.
Fall. Yeah. Free fall. They're below Rochdale now. Rochdale, who are the same player sent off for two games running the last two matches, Ian Henderson, have been banned for four games. That's pretty much going to take them up to, well, maybe three left at that point. Sheffield United, another season of struggle for them. They're banging mid-table under Nigel Atkins in 12th.
They're never going to get out of League One. Ever.
No. Bury in
16th.
But
they will continue to be the bookies' favourite every season from now to the end of time. But they will never get out.
It's written. You have to do that. I went to Blackpool on Friday. You rang me. I was at Bloomfield Road.
Oh, that's where you
on
were.
On the beach.
I wonder what the racket was.
Yeah.
You were on the beach?
Well, no, the pitch was like a beach.
Oh.
I think the Bury fans were singing, if we score, we're going on the beach or something like that. It was just dreadful. There's literally no more to say about that game. Awful. Down the bottom, Crewe, Colchester.
Colchester have had a few wins.
Yeah, they're still miles off
the pace.
They're
still miles off, but two wins in the last two games.
Oldham are definitely going to stay up, I'll tell you that, because they've just won so many games since John Sheridan's come in. They're going to be absolutely fine. They're just being kept out of the in the relegation zone on goal difference at the minute. Doncaster, I know Darren Ferguson was not happy at all with their performance last week over Easter. They're in the relegation zone. Fleetwood and Blackpool just outside. League 2, is it time to pop the champagne corks at Sixfields yet? Can't be far off. Northampton, 7 games to go. They are 16 points clear of the team in 4th place, who are Accrington, Oxford and Plymouth in the top 3. Bristol Rovers, Pompey and Wickham in the playoff spot.
Aki and Bristol Rovers have had good runs of form recently, and they've really, as at one stage it did look like those three would be clear.
Yes.
And it would be a fight for the playoffs between the rest. But older Oxford and Plymouth, by no means home and dry yet. And you know, there's a chance that Accrington, I mean, what a brilliant job. I think we do sometimes forget what a brilliant job John Coleman's done, you know, second time round at that club. And he's still outperforming the budget they've got and the crowd base that they've got is still one of the smallest around. And there they are, punching above their weight continuously. And they could, you know, they could get up. It'd be tremendous. And Bristol Rovers, first season back in the league. Not easy at all to be up where they are.
And Pompey, 63 points.
Well, I Pompey mean, will be looking at it and thinking
they're in the Sheffield United category, aren't
they? Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's favourites to go up every season, not quite materialising. They are in the playoff spots. Down the bottom, Dagenham, 10 points from safety. Running out of games, 8 games to go. York, 7 points from safety. Stevenage and Yeovil and Morecambe, just above the relegation zone. And of course, more limbo at Notts County as well.
I'm going to commit the cardinal sin of trying to remember a tweet and probably misquoting it.
Please do.
But I'm sure I saw a Dagenham fan tweet a few weeks ago that, like, it was probably about 3-4 years ago, they were in the same division as Leicester.
Right.
Now, next season, Leicester could be playing Barcelona and they'll be playing Barrow.
Oh. Again, we need the violins for Dagenham. Right, that's kind of it for this mini episode of We Are Going Up. Hope you've enjoyed it. We sort of caught up as best we could for the time being.
Well, something we must mention.
Oh, please do.
I'm sure you'll be aware of this. Jeff Stelling.
Yeah, well, yeah.
What a man.
What a hero. We were hoping to get him on. That was the plan, because he's done this big walk, hasn't he, for Prostate Cancer UK.
He finished it today,
is it completed now?
He completed it this afternoon on Wednesday afternoon.
I saw Matt Letizia was down there today.
Day 10. And he's had all manner of people with him over the last 10 days. Mascots, quite a lot of mascots have been doing the march with him. And, you know, 10 marathons in 10 days.
It's getting on for Eddie Izzard-esque, isn't it? It's not a marathon, is it? He's walking, isn't he?
Yeah, we're walking a marathon still. Every day.
Yeah.
Well, you like to see you try.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. I knew that was coming.
And he's raised loads of money for Prostate Cancer UK, a charity we've got behind plenty of times in the past and will continue to do so. I think it's menunitedmarch.org.
Excellent.
If you want to go and donate.
Yeah, well, the plan was to try and get him on, but unfortunately it didn't materialise in terms of
date. Doesn't matter. Jeff's got more important people to talk to than us, mate. He's got more important things to worry about.
Yes, that is the most sensible thing you've said all day, definitely. That's it for We Are Going Up, this mini episode this week. Now, we're going to be into April the next time we speak to you, which means the season will not have long to go. We will talk to you more then. Obviously, we'll talk to you, DC, more before you go to Wembley.
We need to make a concerted effort, Mark, to just get things a little bit more regular, I think, as the business end of the season approaches.
Yes,
we need to adopt that mentality to ourselves.
We shall try. It's not been easy this season. Different cities, different sort of times, people working, access to studios, all that. But we're getting there. We're muddling along. That's what I like to say. And then we'll come alive for the final straight. Yeah?
Yeah, we will.
Okay. Don't sound entirely convinced, but thank you for
that. I'm going to Wembley soon.
You are going to Wembley.
I mean, I was nowhere there last night.
Yeah, you were.
For England.
No, I fed you down. No, sorry, go on.
I'm going to Wembley.
Yes.
I mean, within the FA Cup semi-final.
I enjoyed your tweets last night, your competition, by the way.
Yeah.
You had to win the signed team sheet in a...
Just the five entries, that's fine.
New style. Right. That's it. If you want to tweet us at Wagyu Podcast, website weareagoingup.co.uk, all the archives on there. iTunes,
well, one
please
more
sign
thing.
Up.
Mixcloud,
SoundCloud, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Just reminding me of something.
Yeah.
Guess what I did? So
audiobook, audible.co.uk/going up. Go on.
On Saturday, after I'd finished the 27 stop pub crawl, the Circle Line, half pints each. So there was a minimum of 13 pints there.
Not recommended by the NHS,
no,
but go on.
No, drinkaware.co.uk. I finished, we started about 9 in the morning and I finished about 11 at night. There was three of us who did it. My two friends, they went off back to where they live, West London, and I had some I live in East London, so I also had some friends who were out. So I thought, well, I mean, I've gone this far. I might as well stay out for a few more hours.
As you do.
Go and meet them, yeah. But my phone was dead. And we finished it in King's Cross.
The pressures of social media during a pub crawl these days.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, a lot of photos, Instagram tweets, etc., Facebooks. So I thought, well, I had my charger with me. So I'll find somewhere I can charge. And there was a hotel, one of the hotels on the Euston Road. And I just walked in and went up to the desk and said, oh, I've got my charger. He said, no problem, sir. Didn't even need my charger. Took my phone, said, I'll have it back for you in half an hour or whenever it's got enough battery. So there I was, just sitting in the lobby of this hotel, not wondering what to do. I got a drink from the bar, and then I'm looking around, and then I spotted terminals, like six terminals of computers that you could just go on, like with the internet, and do a bit of browsing while you're
internet cafe, if you will.
Yeah, very much your internet cafe setup. So what did I decide to do?
Don't know.
Change them all to wearegoingup.co.uk, of course.
Yes. Yes. I wonder why our results have gone up from zero to six in the last week.
I'm always thinking.
You used to do the Apple Store as well. Brilliant. Right, that's it. On that note, it's a good note to leave it. We will speak to you next time on We Are Going Up.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.